Where do you stand on illegal downloading? Have you stolen your fair share of Games of Thrones episodes? Have you cheekily watched last year's Downton Abbey Christmas special? Is the film and television industry simply not keeping pace with technology, with how people want to consume stuff these days? Or should we vigorously defend and maintain copyright laws, better respect intellectual property of the people who generate the content? Attorney General George Brandis had a bit to say about this last week. Last year, in fact, he asked the Law Reform Commission to review copyright laws in Australia. The final report came in last week. It didn't touch on this issue of piracy, but that didn't stop the Attorney General, who had his own proposal, a three strikes rule, something among a range of measures that would include warnings being sent to internet users who download illegally. There's a lot of issues to discuss in this, and it's a long running discussion, and I think it will run for some years to come. Angela Daly is a research fellow at the Swinburne Institute of Technology, and Laurie Flexer is the executive director of the IP Awareness Foundation. Welcome to you both.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Angela, to go to you first. Now, the Attorney General last week, on the back of that that report from the Law Reform Commission, came up with his own proposals around the ideas of piracy. That departed from the text the recommendations that the Commission had given.
I can't say it was a huge surprise, because I believe in a speech that the Attorney General made a few months ago, he mentioned kind of combating piracy as one of the things he wanted to concentrate on. However, it does seem rather kind of out of step with the report that's been produced, which didn't really recommend anything like this, and actually has recommended that a fair use exception be introduced into Australian copyright law. And the Attorney General himself remains kind of unconvinced, or remains to be convinced, that this is actually necessary, and this is despite the Australian Law Reform Commission's process, which garnered lots of evidence from experts in the field.
Did these submissions and discussion and all that sort
exactly,
of thing.
Exactly, exactly.
That fair use idea, tell us what that means.
Well, fair use is an exception to copyright infringement, which is a kind of a broad exception that you can use for certain uses of copyrighted material without getting the owner's permission.
Laurie, did the Attorney General's proposals come as a surprise to you, or is this, I imagine you've been having words in his ear as well as part of this process of discussion that's going on?
Me personally not, but yes, it wasn't a surprise, because as Angela points out, from day one in his job he came out very strongly on the side, he is the arts minister of course as well, and came out very strongly in favour of helping to protect the creative arts in Australia, and part of that is piracy. I wasn't surprised because, as you can imagine, the creative communities did have some objections to the way in which the ALRC report was created. The advisory committee didn't include a single professional member of the creative industries, but did include representatives from Google, Facebook, the Internet Association. So we weren't surprised by the results of the review, and we were quite thrilled with the strength of the statements made by Senator Brandis.
How much of the sort of piracy that we're aware of in this country actually involves material produced in this country?
It's very difficult to know that, and of course we know that a lot of the piracy is from big American television series and films that come here, but Australian films are pirated, and with dire consequences for some of the creatives. Last year, a little genre film called 100 Bloody Acres, which did not do well at the box office, had been released internationally first, and had tens of thousands that we know about of downloads, and I don't know how many streams, but was one of the top 50 pirated films last year. And they know that they've lost enormous amounts of revenue.
I wonder, Angela, is one of the distinctions that we can make in this discussion between, let's say, you know, American blockbuster television, which might have an Australian rights holder who is reluctant to release that simultaneously with an international release. That therefore becomes the keen subject of illegal download, as against the small Australian film say, which can then be, you know, refilmed and pirated. Is there any sort of possibility, any sort of framework that could treat those things differently?
I doubt it, but I think that one of the important points which has just been made is that things are being released internationally before they're being released in Australia, including content which is made in Australia. And I think that's what we need to start questioning when Australians are being presented with content in so supposedly legal ways. They're often paying a lot more for it than their counterparts in places like the US and the UK. And so this is something that was brought up in the Australian Parliamentary Commission's IT pricing report last year. And certainly I think that there is a big issue around the business models of the content industry that are not responding to consumer demand here.
Is there an element of that, Laurie, that we have people, in particular this is in television, I think, who are just not in step with the times, that people these days expect things to have a simultaneous international delivery and get upset when that doesn't happen?
I think that the expectations of consumers is certainly moving in that direction, but I'm not quite sure of the reality of what Angela's saying. For example, around 70 to 80% of the top 10, well, 7 out of 10 of last year's top 10 grossing films at the box office were released at the same day and date that they were released in the US. And of the remainders, it's often about the time of year. For example, films for kids are released in school holidays, and school holidays do not line up in America and Australia. And it would be crazy to release a school film out of school holidays to be in sync with the American release. And let's just have a look at Game of Thrones. Season 1 was available on Foxtel and iTunes 12 weeks after US release. It was the big excuse used for people to download. Season 2 Game of Thrones, available 8 days after US release. Game of Thrones fans said they weren't prepared to wait 8 days and would download it without paying for it. Game of Thrones Season 3 was available within 1 hour on Foxtel and iTunes. Still one of the most heavily downloaded programs. Availability is not the key. The IP awareness research shows that free is the principal reason that people download.
Piracy and intellectual property rights and copyright, that's our subject. Angela Daly, she's a research fellow for the Swinburne Institute of Technology. Laurie Flexer is executive director of the IP Awareness Foundation, Sunday Extra. Jonathan Green with you. Let's look at those proposals from the Attorney General and this idea of three strikes and the sort of range of measures. Angela, can you tell us how that might work?
Well, it's quite unclear at the moment precisely. I don't think the Attorney General himself has worked out quite what this will mean, but there are kind of similar schemes to this in operation in various other countries, some of which involve warnings being sent out to users, to ISPs, customers, if they have been supposedly pirating content in some way, although actually there's plenty of examples of people being sent these warnings when actually they probably haven't done it. So I think there's an issue there about accuracy. Also, I think in some of the more extreme cases, there's been threats to kind of cut off users' internet access if they've been viewed to be engaging in too much piracy.
And there are issues of surveillance and privacy in that, of
Absolutely,
course.
Absolutely, yes.
Are there lessons, Laurie, in the way that music has dealt with this as an issue? I mean, the things like TV and film are, you know, perhaps 10 years behind the experience of the music industry online. What are the lessons there?
I think they're very different industries, and I'm always very cautious, A, because I'm not an expert. IP awareness really does represent film and television piracy more than music. Mm. But the revenue that comes out of cinemas, out of exhibition for films, is a key part of the business model. You know, I don't think that saying the business models need to change is a valid excuse for piracy. Nobody's forced to steal things. And
it probably has some validity, not in film, yeah, but in television in particular, where we see the concept of broadcast television under assault on a number of fronts. And it would seem that, you know, on demand will become the thing. And once you have a principle which says that content ought to be delivered on demand, then it's awkward then to place geographic barriers around that.
I take my hat off to somebody who's able to give their content away for free out of their choice and actually build up their reputation. Fantastic. But it has to be their choice.
But what if,
Piracy takes the choice out of the hands of the creators.
What if you can find a way of marketing that product online, of recouping some cost online? I mean, the $100 million film still makes its big bucks at the box office, and it still recovers those costs.
Sometimes. And often it pays for some of the riskier films that the studios make.
Sure.
One has to remember that often those films don't recoup their costs. Do we only want to see those big tentpole films
but
in the future?
Do we only want an industry in film and television which is insisting on a particular form of delivery and saying that the world is not going to change and this is the way we're going to do things rather than adapting to a modern online world.
There's no doubt that it has changed, and you know, new subscription services are game changers in this. The fast tracking of most major US shows here is already an enormous change. Mm. And one has to always remember that a lot of the shows come from people say that they often won't get things off Foxtel because they won't pay for it, but often those come from pay television networks or in the US as well, TV in the US.
Is that change, Angela, fast enough?
I would say not at all. And I think that definitely the music, well, more the film and TV industry, film in particular, has been very slow to adapt to the digital age and the digital era. Music was slow as well and was forced to change because of piracy. And actually, you can see iTunes is a good example of the music industry finally, or actually not the music industry, the tech industry, responding to that demand for consumers when the music industry was unwilling to do so. And so I definitely think that it's a real case of changing business models to provide what people want at reasonable prices.
One thing is certain, we've not yet heard the end of this in our modern and quickly changing world, and we will see what happens with the proposals from the Attorney General. Thanks to our guest this morning, Angela Daly. She's a research fellow at the Swinburne Institute of Technology, and Laurie Flexer, she's Executive Director of the IP Awareness Foundation.